Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey folks, welcome to the Sloppy Boys, where we take a deep dive into the drinks that you love. I'm Jeff Dutton, along with Mike Hanford.
To the left.
And Tim Kalbakis.
Everything you own in a box to the left.
Oh,
yeah, he did it.
It was worth it. Yay.
He's blushing now.
I feel gross. I feel like a fucking pawn in Mike's chess game.
Well, no, because you didn't really go with it. You didn't seem excited. You were like, oh, gotta do this thing.
I'm fucking miserable.
He feels compromised.
Yeah, I'm not gonna make that mistake ever again to try to include you into this fun event.
Well, my problem is that my usual question remains unanswered. You're like, I'm sitting here and I don't know what is up.
Yeah, you know? yeah. The audience members at home are like, not much. I'm sitting here, I'm listening, or I'm on the train. You don't know. We don't know.
Maybe next week.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe next week they can answer.
There's always next week.
For this week and next week, or last week. Wait.
Huh? Duddy, how you feeling? Yeah, you've got COVID.
I did. You know what? Cleared it.
Really?
Yay, you're neg?
Well,
Negativo?
Here's the thing. They said,
you better
us. Ooh. No, I would never do that.
Unless you want to fuck us.
Because it'll work on us.
I said, so when do I get tested? And they were like, oh, well, there's no point in getting tested. You'll be positive again. Oh. And I said, hey, what about the 10 days?
You said 10.
You said 10 days. You go back on your word? And they were like, no, your body is shedding dead virus for like the foreseeable future.
Oh.
So you're not contagious, but you test positive.
I don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear that shit.
I don't want to hear about me shedding.
But do you feel good? Like, you don't think you have long COVID where your lungs are going to be weird for the rest
Tim,
of your life?
How do I look?
I mean, you're glowing. You got a dimply smile.
Yeah, it looks like you just met a new lover. Someone who makes your world, who hangs the moon for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
No, I got a bit of a rasp.
I thought it was a rash.
Oh.
He's right back into the old Jeff.
Rashy ass Jeff.
No, I feel good. I'm back, baby.
Happy
good.
To hear it.
You smelling and tasting?
Smelling and tasting.
Oh, baby.
Oh, good, because you're going to be, we have a tasty drink today and you'll be tasting it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Nice. Unlike the yellow bird, which tasted like nothing.
To you, it tasted like nothing. I was sitting high atop the yellow bird tree. On that
Right. I remember that being atop the yellow bird tree.
Mike, have you been, taken any climbs up the yellow bird tree since last week?
My man, I haven't been down.
Up in the nest.
I'm nesting for the summer, rest of the summer in the yellow bird tree.
That cocktail instantly made it into my repertoire. I've been drinking them. I drink them all week. I love it.
It's an easy one to make.
It's easy. You know, I got to get through that Galliano bottle.
Yeah.
And I like it. And I'm using my coupe glasses and it makes me feel refined.
Did you give one to Jessica?
Yeah, she liked it too. At least she told me to. But you never know.
Wife approved.
Wait, what is it again? It's lime juice, rum, and the Galliano. Is that it?
And don't forget, triple sec.
Triple sec.
Okay. I'm on it. I'll make one.
Okay, bye.
I thought you were in the tree, man. What happened?
Yeah, I was lying about that.
All right. Well, what do we got going on today?
Well, Tim, you probably just looking at Tim. He looks a little tired, a little worn out. He just spent a little time in New York City with me.
I got to say, that city, there's very little slumbering going on.
It's in crazy. That city. It's crazy over here.
Not people too many logs being sawed.
No, no, no. The sleeping caps go unused throughout the night, let's say.
The
city that doesn't use its sleeping caps is what they should say.
Sleeping caps intact here in this Knickerbocker area. Yes, early in the summer, all I did on this show was talk about this trip I was taking. I went to Cape Cod, had a blast, had some Cape Codders. Then I went down to New York. And I had said, when I'm there, I want it to be the city's ultimate VIP.
Right, right. Did that work out for you?
Kind of, yeah, actually. and Hanford made it happen because everybody who listens to this podcast knows I like to refer to him as celebrity bartender Jack Schramm. He doesn't call himself celebrity. In fact, Mike, I think you were sincerely calling him that. But he's just a wonderful man who knows a lot about cocktails, and he's from the streaming cocktail classes. There's a company called Gush, and he has Solid Wiggles, the fancy alcohol Jello molds.
The Jello shot. Yeah.
So before my arrival, Hanford emailed Jack and said, "Hey, Jack, Tim and Jessica are coming to town. What do you say take us out?
What do you got lined up for us?
What do you say take us out on the town and give us a night we'll never forget?"
And his initial email back was no. And then I reminded him, you said you would.
You must. You guilted him into it. And he really did. This was during my week in New York. This was the crown jewel.
Yeah.
And, Jack is a fantastic guy, very plugged into the restaurant and bar industry. So he curated a little night for us, and we had cocktails at a lot of bars I've always wanted to go to, always read about. And the cool thing, he got us some reservations that are hard to get. We'd be on the way to a bar, he'd text ahead to a friend that worked there, so we'd get some stools set aside.
Tim, yeah,
Did you ever enter through the kitchen?
No. I tried and I got my little ass beat.
Ooh, Jack.
5 bars in a row, my little ass black and blue.
Some of our food came from the kitchen, so that was as close as we got.
Oh.
Yes, yes.
That's what you want.
When I ordered, I ordered from the waiter. I said, "Could you just take my phone here? I'm going to put it on video mode and just put it on the plate and walk it out." So I got to see it a little bit that way. It was really cool. Jack was informative about everything and... Geez, he put up with our bullshit all night.
Because our bullshit was
a good man.
We're drinking and we're getting drunk and we're having fun. But then I'd also be like, "Hey, Jack, how do you infuse vodka?"
Well, actually, we got some tapes on the whole night. We took a little recording of each place we stopped.
Let's hear it.
Let's hear it.
This is like Insomniac.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the first place we stopped was PDT, Please Don't Tell, a little speakeasy on the Lower East Side. Here we go. Okay, we are live here. Don't just keep, just go on, go along with your regular day. We're here, we got me and Tim are here. We got Jessica in the mix and Jack Schramm, famous, what'd you say, famous mixologist? I think you're famous to me, the Schrammer. Okay, Jessica's ordering another drink. She had the Paddington before. Jessica had the Paddington, Tim and I had the Benton Old Fashioned. And Jack, what did you have?
I had the Shark.
The Shark. It is a green drink. It's a good. These are all good drinks. We had hot dogs. My hot dog had cilantro in it. Some of the cilantro is now in my shoe, which I need to deal with. But Jack has been nice enough. He's going to take us on a tour of, what, 5 bars we're going to?
5 bars.
5 bars. Cool spots. We're at Please Don't Tell right now, which is kind of a secret spot. This is our first stop, and I got to tell you, I did the math here, Jack, and we are going to get... We're gonna get messed up tonight.
That's true. That was all part of the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm keeping a close eye on my wallet. Tim, what do you think?
I'm loving this old fashioned. It tastes like smoky pork, and I'm in heaven.
It's a bourbon that is distilled with bacon.
The process is called fat washing, where they render the fat out of the bacon, mix it into the bourbon, and then let that sit for a few hours, freeze it, the whole mixture, and then strain off the frozen bacon solids. So just the bacon-infused bourbon is left behind.
It's great. There's a real, like a genuine smokiness to it. And we had some fantastic pina coladas with Fernet on the top. Those were unbelievable.
Yeah, those are great.
Unbelievable. Folks, we'll check back in later. See ya.
Nice.
Yeah, that was good. The thing I had forgotten about was the pina colada with a Fernet. It's a good mixture. Do that.
Jeffy, this felt very VIP because it was little pina coladas in like little stemmed cocktail glasses, and then they topped them with Fernet. So it was fancy as fuck, and they were free. Fancy. Most importantly, free.
See, a mouth breather like me wants a big pina.
Yeah,
but you're saying that in, of Fernet on top.
In the city, the elites drink little tiny pinas.
The elites drink thimblefuls of everything.
Yeah.
So after that, we headed on over. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Now, as an objective listener,
to
listening to what I just heard, that's the first stop of the night.
Well,
that was technically the second. We stopped at a dive bar, sort of just a meet up first.
I was going to say that sounded pretty fun, pretty loose. Could have been the climax of the night.
for some
regular.
Well,
folks.
we had some beers in us from a dive bar that we convened at, and then we were also Jeff. You know, we were lulled into the vibe because PDT is kind of the speakeasy that started the speakeasy like resurgence. So you're you walk through a hot dog place and then you walk through the telephone booth and you feel like you're in a different world. So we were kind of ready to start sucking them back.
Yeah.
There's a ton of those in LA and I love them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Those hot dogs, that was a cool add-on. Yep. A speakeasy with some hot dogs.
Criff dogs. I think they're like deep fried. They're fantastic. Ooh. Where'd we go next?
Then we made our way on over to Death & Co.
Oh, yes.
Ooh, now this has come up before. What's the deal with this?
A famous one. We'll discuss it here in the clip.
Oh, my God.
All right. We are stop three of the SRAM tour. The first one was kind of a dive bar that we started out. Just to wet the whistle, so to speak.
Exactly.
And now we're at Death & Co., the inventor of the
Naked and Famous.
Came out of this place. It's very cool. It's also very speakeasy. It's very dark. I like the lit up bar in the back. This place has cool names for these drinks. I like them. Jack, have you ever named a drink?
Yeah, I've named quite a few drinks.
What are some of your hits that you think of?
A personal hit was the Portfolio. One of my top cocktails of all time.
Okay.
The Helicopter.
Ooh, I like that.
You can tell that I like multi-syllabic
single words. That makes
sense. That's kind of more of my vibe.
Yeah. You know what here's a good idea. Have you ever had an Alabama Slammer? Is that a...
Yes.
That's a shot, right?
Yeah.
You got to come up with something called the Alabama Shrammer.
So I had a drink that was named after me at another bar called Mr. Paradise, but they used to have a drink called the Shram Slammer. That was a bacon fat washed, date infused mezcal.
I like that. All right, well, Alabama Shrammer's good too. All right, well, we're getting along here. We're doing all right. See you at the next one.
Hey, I got a round of Bud Lights coming up.
I think they'd kick it. They would knock our heads onto this bar right here and leave it a bloody brainy mess.
I wish it was brainier, but not.
Yeah,
really.
I know. Really we could do it with a few more book readings on our part. Tutu, tattoo. Miss you, Jeff. Wish you were here.
What was that cackle?
That was, well,
that sounded facetious.
I'm having a little fun, but we did miss you.
I like the name Mr. Paradise. That's very absurdly self-confident.
Yeah, we were going to go, but there was like a water problem or something.
Their water was shut down.
They shut down for like the night or till like 7 o'clock or something.
Hey, the other thing I learned about Death & Co. from that audio is they shake the shit out of those drinks.
Oh, man.
They really do. It's a real show watching them make... I kept saying that it felt like they were making us a meal because you read your drink, like they write a new menu like all the time and you read your drink. It has so many ingredients and you watch them make it and they serve it to you. And you're like, yeah, this is worth the $24 or whatever. Cause you just like made me a meal. And a lot of them are, savory and really complex. Mm-hmm. And then the highlight for me was drinking drinks like that and talking to Jessica about them. And then I kind of lean over to hear what what Hanford was saying to Jack. And yeah. Mike would be saying like, you know, Jack, I love it. You know, I love just taking something a real good drink. You know when a drink is good?
Yeah, if it's not so good, I don't like that as much, Jack.
If it's not good, that's bad for me, man.
Yeah, he entertained me, entertained my idiocy for the whole night. The thing that I got at this bar, which kind of followed through for the rest of the night, was like how interesting the drinks were. It was all everything we tasted because we all swapped drinks and stuff. It all tasted or reminded me of the Trinidad Sour. Not in the taste, but just in like the, oh my God, complexity. This is yeah. weird taste They're, coming at all angles.
They were event drinks. They didn't just do yeah. the thing where it's like a craft cocktail where they take one you know and they swap out one ingredient and give it a cute name. This yeah. was very inspiring.
It was inspiring and inspired. And I think I got something else after that one, but I forget what it was, but I do remember it was $30.
Yeesh. Michael.
Yeah. Let's see. Then we made our way on over to Attaboy.
Okay, what is up? We just left Death & Co. and we're walking over to Attaboy. And Mike, what did you just do?
I pulled out a stogie. I'm doing stogie night.
This guy, without a word, lights up a stogie. We look at him. We got Tony Sespresso over here.
It shouldn't be without a word all the time. This is just my thing now. I do stogies.
That's his thing. He does stogies, folks. You heard it here first. We're off to get a few more cocktails.
That's your thing.
I pulled a stogie up. I like to do that as a joke. I took a puff of it and I threw it away. I was done. But I hung back from everyone and lit it up and then said, you know, like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, what? And then so they all turn around and see that I had a cigar.
It worked. I was agog when I saw it.
It's a funny trick. Nobody expects you to have a cigar in your mouth.
Yeah, and you can get the laugh for what, $5 or $6?
Yeah.
No, you gotta use a new Macanudo every time.
This was a golden tan or something like that with like the holder at the end, like the wooden holder at the end, a little thin one. I don't know what it was.
Noise. And then you guys went to Attaboy, right?
That's right.
Yes, and I'd been very pumped for this because Attaboy is very famous and it's in the location. It had been Milk and Honey, a very like seminal bar.
Even I've heard of that.
Yeah. So hit the clip.
Okay, folks.
We're here. Like a morning show host.
Yeah, it's like a morning show now. Well, it is the morning. Just kidding. We haven't been out that long. We're at Attaboy, and we got. Oh, this is a cool place. It's a nice thin little spot. You know, you want those. You want thin is it? You want to get a thin. You want to get a thin bar going.
Jack, bring us to the thinnest places you can. We don't want those big old fat bars.
So
only thin bars.
See, I got the gin and sin. You got gin. You got dry vermouth. You got apricot.
Yes, an absinthe.
Absinthe. It was an absinthe Ritz.
Yes.
You can't say that. Absinthe Ritz. It's impossible to say. Tim, what do you got there?
I got a penicillin at the motherfucking place where it's invented.
Oh, that's insane.
Yes. The original, right
You
now.
Hear that, Dutton? Your favorite drink is right where you...
Suck it, Dutton! Where is Jeff drink? Mess hall, right? Jeff sucks him back.
Yeah. You can't separate them.
I have to say, but I feel like Jack is the new Dutton.
Yeah, you might be out, Jeff. Now, Jack's got two drinks. This guy, you're a little out of your mind. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go. We'll do first sips.
Bottoms up. Cheers.
Wow.
Yeah, the spice is nice.
Very good. Well, we're going to get down to business here. Jeff, we miss you so much. I miss the hell out of you. I wish you were here. We really want you here. I just is like...
Be emotionally available.
You'd love it here. When you come to New York next, you'll go out with Jack alone. I can't do this again. This is too much for me. This guy's, he's actually a madman. I think he's a mad scientist. God, brother, I miss you.
Hey, that's now we're
got
talking,
a
Mike.
Real deal. Yeah, we keep those drinks flowing. It was got
yeah,
real.
The night turned dark there, and we all had to like hold Hanford up. He was crying. Where's that Jeff?
Did Jessica do
my boy, my beautiful boy,
my beautiful boy would drink here with me?
If he were here,
if he were here, he'd drink, right, he'd drink you all under the table. He would.
Were he here?
Were did Jessica do martinis at each stop or just the last two?
Martini-esque drinks.
Yeah.
Like a different variant. And that's why she had to go home early because the martinis are, I was kind of having some sweet drinks and mixing it up. And she said, martini, 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 good night. Get me in the Uber.
Probably a smart move to be done on those. But the three of us went on one more to this really cool place called Katana Kitten. Play it up.
All right, we're back here. Jeff, you got to get a plane ticket to this place, man. It's wild. All right, Jack, tell us where we are.
All right, we're at Katana Kitten, one of my favorite bars in the world.
This is
best vibe in the city.
Very cool vibe here. Actually, Jeff, you would love this place. Ooh, that's good.
Oh, beautiful. The food's here.
Oh, we got so calamari, fast, too. Wow.
Yes.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Beautiful.
And I will be right back with the wings.
We got so much food and drinks in front of us. We'll see you later.
A smorgasbord.
Yeah, that was good food. The curry sauce, dipping stuff in curry sauce was good, good.
And this place, Katana Kitten, was this fun vibe where, Jeff, you'd love it because the owner just goes to Japanese toy stores and buys toys. So you'd order a drink and there would be a toy that coincides with,
Happy Meal?
Just because it just sits in front of you. You'd get a certain type of highball, and then he'd put a little mechanical bird in front of you. And while you drink that drink, this little bird is pecking at the table, and then you'd finish your drink and he'd take the bird off.
it was just a little event. It was weird.
And
dang, that's
and
cool.
Because yeah, it was fun. We were there with Jack, they gave us a round of Mount Gay rum shots, and there was a little toy for that. And then when I paid at the end, they put a little cat was holding a sign that said Tim is the best.
That it seemed like they already had that from something else. Like they had a Tim sign.
Yeah, that there was there's a certain little traditions that only they know about. You order this, that happens. They bring
that's
this
awesome.
Thing.
It was great.
An internal logic. It was great.
And Jack, I think his name was Masa. Jack knew him. He's the guy who owns the place or runs it, and he was a very cool guy.
He was
damn. Yeah. Ugh, I should have just fucking went.
You should have gone.
COVID and all.
You basically got the experience just by with our audio illuminations.
Yeah, but Tim, I didn't get to sip.
No, you didn't get to sip.
Well, you didn't get the glug either.
Mm. There's a little bit of there's an addendum here that Tim recorded in the bathroom.
Oh, this is good.
This is infinite jest. This would be the footnote at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, yeah.
And we've all read that.
Hey, folks. This is Tim. I'm in the bathroom here at Katana Kitten. And I just want to say, go easy on Mike and Jack. They mean well. Look, I know they're not the coolest guys in the world, but their heart's in the right place, okay? But thanks. I owe you one.
I do owe you one. Everyone listening,
you owe the fans one, the listeners one.
I'll do one favor for every listener, any listener that opens their hearts to Mike and Jack.
This is crazy.
So we had a blast, and then that was the end of the night for us because me and Mike, we were drunk and we like to posture like we're big party dudes, but you put 8 cocktails in us. We want to get in our little beds, and it was very fun to see Masa and Jack. They were kind of feeling us out because these are New York guys, and they're kind of like, if we want the night to keep going, we could, we've got some suggestions. And Mike was like, I'm out. I'm going to bed.
I know. The way, some of the stories Jack was telling was just like, so after my shift, I would go to this bar. I was like, after your shift, that's like a 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning.
The shift is the end. Yeah. That's done.
Yeah.
He didn't stop. But it was super fun.
It was fun. And my overall, all these drinks were great. But then the overall thing was just, I like the industry. I like the warm welcomes we got everywhere. And you see pulling favors to get Jack into the bar and giving us free food. I would say that the New York cocktail scene is going strong. It's
alive and well.
There's nice camaraderie. And if you can get in, get your ass in, man.
Yeah.
If you can get in good with these guys.
Come in and know me better, man.
Is that the Ghost of Christmas Future from Present? Of present. Present. From the Muppets Christmas Carol?
That's right.
I think. That's right. Wait, maybe past.
He's the big
guy. No, he's present.
Guy.
He's the middle. Present, he's the second one.
Present. Mm-hmm. Present. He's the giant.
But yeah. What about Marley and Marley?
The best.
Best movie ever made.
Real quick before we move on to the drink. Have any of you guys worked in a restaurant? Tim, you have.
Yep. 7 years.
Yeah, I did some bussing tables at a steakhouse.
Now, see, I never did, although I did scoop ice cream at the ice cream and chocolate factory. Ooh. But we didn't have like the sort of the storied nightlife that you hear about when you work in a restaurant.
Oh, you didn't have a chocolate factory?
can you believe
Jeff was up all night and he put the fudges up his butt.
But did you guys have those like, it was like, oh, we stayed till close and then we went out.
We would drink at the bar at the place when it was closed out.
Awesome.
Here's what I would do. We had beers on tap. We'd have like Labatt and Yingling on tap, when I was young, I was like so excited to get to have a beer after my shift that I would. This is insane, but this is a young man who wants to get drunk real fast. I was a barbecue cook in the back room of a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it was so hot back there and I'd be sweating for my whole shift. Yeah, and I would purposely not drink water for a whole 6 hour shift so that my first beer would get me drunker.
Oh my God, boy.
But it was the best drinking experience ever. Like imagine taking a frosty mug out of the freezer and filling up with Labatt and taking the whole thing to the dome in like one huge gulp.
Every cell in your body just ready for any liquid you throw
at it. Yeah, it's like, it's allowing beer in places only water should be allowed to go.
You shouldn't be here.
You shouldn't be here down in the foot.
Your eyeballs got some beer floating around in them.
Yep.
Well, hey, that sounds great. And next time, take your boy Jay, man.
I think Jack is down for doing that again when you come into town.
Hey, love it.
He's also, if you see him in public and you're just some random Joe Schmo, go up to Jack and say, take me out for a whole night on the town every night of the week.
I'd love to. I'll drop whatever I'm doing. I'll do it.
What do you guys say we get into the drink of the day?
I think it's about that time.
Tim, I'd love that.
This drink is entitled The Suffering Bastard. You've had?
Had not had.
Not had.
You've heard?
I've heard.
I've heard, but only because it's funny.
Right.
It is funny.
This is, I feel like this is one of tiki bars they like make sure to put prominently. It's like, oh my God.
They do that, and I haven't had it, but it almost rubbed me the wrong way. Suffering Bastard reminds me of Arrogant Bastard beer. And I kind of like,
yes, that's what
I'm trying a little hard.
Yeah.
But there is logic. This, hey, we got a great story behind this drink. It's a nice clear one. And thanks to Beach Bum Barry, the tiki guy, he researched it and now everybody knows like
who's this Barry?
You know Beach Bum Barry, he's a tiki historian who he'll like give presentations at Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans, like a PowerPoint about a drink. Ooh. And that type of guy. And he's got books.
So you vouch for him?
I would lay down my life for him. I would take a bullet for him, I'd walk into traffic.
A bullet for Barry.
Okay. Okay.
But let me tell you this, just the name, it's a suffering bastard. Folks, it's a hangover drink. That's why it's called that.
Ah.
And that's why you always see it in the tiki mug. It's usually in a tiki mug with like the frowniest face they have and like a guy with his hands on his head. Because when you're a suffering bastard, you drink this drink.
Right.
Interesting. I thought it was like an Easter Island head, no?
No, it's more like... it's more like what I said.
Okay.
Yeah, the picture
just,
on.
Tim, I'll just go back 15 seconds.
Bump it back on your phone 15 seconds and re-listen to what I said. You're going to love it.
The picture here on the IBA of the drink, it looks like he's holding his head on his forehead there.
Yow.
So, and it's basically like a mule variation and the thinking that the ginger beer is
lime.
You know. The science behind this shit of hangover drinks doesn't really check out, but it's a nice idea. But for the history here, this has some cool international intrigue. We're talking World War II, Egypt, Cairo at the Shepherd Hotel is a fancy hotel in Cairo where kind of like the British army was fighting World War II, so they're in Egypt, and all the officers hang out at the Long Bar at the Shepherd Hotel. So it's kind of like I've heard it kind of likened to like a Casablanca vibe, you know, where it's like a war's going on, and you see like a fancy guy with a fez, and he's an important general, but he's drinking at this bar. All these important war guys are hanging at this bar.
Ah, mm-hmm. Very cool.
And at the bar is a very famous, one of the most famous bartenders of all time. This little dude by the name
Jack Schramm.
This is like the Jack Schramm of his day. In fact, his name is similar. Joe Shalom.
Joe Shalom.
This all checks out. Yeah,
Joe Shalom was like the original Jack Schramm.
15 degrees removed.
It's spelled like Skialom. It's like the Italian way of saying Shalom. But this was a Jewish guy from Egypt who went to France and became a chemist. So he knows chemistry, but he decided like, I got a big personality and I like talking to people. Mm. I'm going to put my chemistry skills to work as a bartender. So he makes drinks for fucking Lawrence of Arabia. He makes drinks for Winston Churchill and he chats them all up and everybody loves him because he's fun and he's funny and he's cool. And then during World War II, there's like the Allies. Troops are like have been hanging out a lot, and then one day they got to go fight the Nazis and the Axis powers, but all the British troops drink too much and they're hungover, so they're like literally the morning of a battle the British officers are like, hey Jack, not Jack, Joe, hey original Jack, Joe, come out, we need something to bring to the front lines to like sober up our guys to fight. So he made him a big batch of this cocktail that was his personal hangover drink he had come up with. And they drink a bunch of suffering bastards and they win the battle. And this is the guy has like a lot of stories like this, but then a funny kind of twist, there's ups and downs to it where like later on him being friends with all these foreign dignitaries and ambassadors bit him in the ass because there was a coup in Egypt and the new kind of regime in Egypt was like skeptical of Joe because he was friends with all these like outside forces. So then there was some kind of conflict at the Suez Canal. Not the recent one when the boat got stuck sideways in it.
Does Billy Joel talk about that in We Didn't Start the Fire, Trouble in the Suez?
No, he says JFK, blown away. What else do we have to
Wait,
say?
Is that is for real? Is that the line, Trouble in the Suez? I thought it was Trouble in the Sewers when I heard that because I was such a Ninja Turtle.
Trouble in the Sewers. There's too much green ooze.
Ooh, the Rat King.
Now that song would have been a lot cooler. Well, I'm embarrassed that none of us know about the Suez Canal incident in the mid-20th century. I'm sure all of our listeners know the intimate details. But what I do know is that then Egypt at that time, then they like thought that
they
maybe
beheaded him.
They jailed him and then they let him out of jail, but they fucking exiled him and his family. So he had Joe Shalom has to leave his beloved Cairo. And here's what's cool. He's kind of floating around Europe for a little bit being like, I'm the best bartender on earth, but I lost my job, work here, work there. And then guess who gets wind that Joe Shalom is available for hire?
Trammer.
Hearst?
Oh, that type of a guy, but I'll give you a hint.
Rockefeller.
Imagine a Rockefeller or a Hearst, Carnegie? But then imagine that their great granddaughter is more promiscuous.
Conrad Hilton himself.
Conrad Hilton says,
this guy is all over the place on this podcast. I would not expect Conrad Hilton to be so.
This is the Hilton cast.
Conrad, come on the pod. Defend yourself, man.
Paris, if you can behave yourself, you're allowed on here too. If you can keep it in your pants for one night. No, Conrad Hilton says, guys, the best bartender in the world is a free agent. Let's hire him. And he hires him and he brings him to the fucking brand new Hilton in San Juan that we just talked about. The one
for the Yellowbird?
The Caribe Hotel where they invented the Pina Colada.
Uh-huh. Oh.
They hire Joe Shalom. Joe works there. It goes great. Conrad loves him and says, every time I open a Hilton hotel, abroad. I'm going to send you around to design the cocktail menu and get the bar off the ground.
Wow.
So everywhere that Joe goes, he puts the suffering bastard on the menu. So it's not even one of these drinks where it had to be word of mouth or it had to take off by people liking it. Like, he traveled the world, he put it everywhere, and then like people mimicked it. Trader Vic came up with a fake bad recipe and put it on his menu, and other people have mimicked it, but it's basically this unique to Hilton hotels.
That's pretty cool, and
it's a hangover cure to this day. And you want to hear what is in the IBA
Tim, I gotta know
recipe?
More.
Nice, easy recipe. You can remember it when you're hungover. 1 ounce of cognac or brandy, same thing, because it's like a champagne tequila type of thing where brandy made in cognac is cognac. Uh-huh. 1 ounce of gin, half an ounce of fresh lime juice, 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, top up with ginger beer. So you're going to pour all the ingredients into a cocktail shaker except the ginger beer, shake well with ice, pour unstrained into a Collins glass. Oh, okay. So the ice that's in there can go along with it.
You're using
the
cubes.
Ice comes in. Okay.
Yeah. You're not discarding the cubes.
Put it in a bastard mug. If you have one of those crying, cringy bastard guys.
All I got is this pickle jar.
Perfect. If you don't have one, I think you're supposed to use a Collins glass or like a highball. And then you top it up the rest of the way with your ginger beer. You garnish with mint sprigs. And optionally, if you got an orange slice, you can throw that on there as well.
Why not?
You know, it's August.
It's that Augusty time.
I was going to say it's the holidays. I can't believe I was so far off on that. But these days, they kind of start selling the holiday decorations so early.
I know. I bought a full a Santa suit already.
Yo, you bought it.
Yeah.
You probably got a good deal.
I went on Amazon and I ordered it already.
Ordered it. I don't need it.
Well, guys, what do you say? You want to get into it?
Let's do it.
Yahoo!
Folks, we'll be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And we're back with Suffering Bastards in Hand.
Ooh, all right.
Let's see him. Mm. Put him up.
Oh, Tim got the mug. Jeff, you got a mug too. You got a...
Oh, yeah. That?
I got a Mandalorian tiki mug.
Ooh. Oh, and he looks kind of... The Mandalorian is kind of grimacy. That's kind of good, man.
Yeah, that is good.
I picked out my frowniest tiki mug, but he's still not the correct guy.
Oh, yeah, he's suffering. Look
he looks
him.
Like scary.
I think that's Maui.
Hmm. Ooh. Oh.
Michael, what do you got?
I just got this glass mug.
Ooh, it looks good, though.
That looks nice.
Yeah, it's
good. My
big, thick glass mug.
I had some confusion here that...
tiki confusion?
Tiki confusion?
A certain tiki confusion was
comes
that
up all the time.
They say, you know, anytime they say top with ginger beer, I'm like, that's such a variable based on how much ice I have and how big my glass is. This tiki mug is not very big, so when I poured just my shaken stuff into it, it filled it to the brim.
Oh, really?
And there was
there
was no room for ginger ale. So I went in with a fork and pulled some ice cubes out and I gave myself about an inch of room for the ginger ale. But I can tell you guys have bigger mugs than me, so you're going to have more ginger ale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the opposite problem where, like, I used a full tray of ice in my shaker.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I think this might be like a 30 ounce or maybe a 25 ounce guy. And it only went like 2/3 of the way up. And I was like, well, okay, I'm not going to like put mostly ginger beer in this thing.
Right.
So this is a little bit light. I put maybe 3-4 ounces of Bundaberg.
I think, Bundaberg. I had Fentimans.
I had, I think it's called Jamaican Choice.
Very nice.
I don't know.
I think 4 ounces is good. I saw some cocktail people on YouTube saying 4 ounces. IBA didn't give a list, but you know, as a hangover cure, I prefer a weaker drink. Like, I make my Bloody Marys with like half a shot. I don't think you want to get drunk the day after. You just kind of want to ease the nausea.
But I see you got the cement there, T. That's nice to see.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Nice big fat sprig.
I got some mint in there, and I even got an orange because I'm so tickled.
Ooh.
when the juice that's in the cocktail is not the garnish. They throw you a side, they throw you a curveball.
Oh, yeah,
because
normally it's hinting at, you know, the juice that you just used, but
the juice you use.
That's nice.
So let us sip.
Now, let me ask, are you going to sip with your straw from the bottom, or are you going to sip the ginger up top, or are you going to make, I'm going to stir mine.
Yeah, stir it up.
Stir it up.
Little booze.
Ooh.
Booze.
Hmm.
Oh, fuck, that's good.
Oh, baby.
Damn. It's a hit.
It's spicy, spicy, oh so nicey.
Hmm. Yeah, it's okay.
Mike, bud, you got something you want to talk about?
Not really. Don't want to talk about this at all. I'm done. let me give it a little stir. You guys chat.
Angostura bitters, is that what
I
mean?
I think, honestly, I think that's where you get
Wait a minute, I didn't even put the bitters in.
Hey! You dolt! This guy's a mess. What if he puts 2 dashes of bitters, comes back and loves it?
It's funny that, you know, the garnish doesn't stay the garnish for very long.
Mm.
For me, anyway.
It becomes the food.
I'm pinching that thing and slamming it in the drink.
Well, I'll tell you a little hint about my garnish. You see this mint sprig that you were gawking at?
Yes.
It's fucking fake.
Oh, no. Tim, how could you?
Yeah, it's a piece of plastic that I pulled off a fake plant because I wanted to pose for the selfie with a little sprig in there. But I didn't have – I've thrown it out too many mint trees, and I didn't want to buy one this time just for the smell.
I mean – Tim, I'm on record as saying I do not like having bushes in my fridge.
I want my bushes down the front of my underwear.
Mm-hmm. I'm back into, what did I miss? Have you guys seen
is that a
Hamilton?
Song?
Hamilton. Yes. It's when Thomas Jefferson comes back from a Francais.
No, I think it's what more did kind I of miss? Like,
not for me.
Are you sure you're not thinking of, my name is Alexander Hamilton?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are thinking.
How does a bastard, an orphan? Oh, hey, all right.
Hey, a suffering bastard.
Yeah, he's a suffering bastard himself. Who knew that this drink was going to be all about Alexander Hamilton?
Well, Duddy, you love a mule.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say that this, because we've had brandy before on the pod, and we said it tastes very similar to bourbon. It's made with grapes, but because it's put in the barrels, it's very bourbon-esque. And it's woody. It's a Toy Story drink because it's woody and it gives you a buzz.
Woody and it gives you a buzz. I'll tell you what. I went for I made a little bit of a leap, and I went for the Cavassier.
Yes.
Whoa, cool.
The ladies' man himself.
A little cognac.
You know, it's funny. I went into the liquor store, and I bought myself a little Hennessy cognac, and then I was like, wait a minute, it wasn't cognac, it was brandy. So I went, I was like, I need a brandy, sorry. And then I, seeing the ingredients here, it was cognac all
the whole time.
All the while.
Or brandy.
Now, see, when I went to Albertsons, all of that. Wait, what did you say it was? The cognac? Hennessy? Now, that's the one that the rappers.
Henny.
They love it.
Cardi likes it, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. And it was you know, that's the big one. It's behind the glass.
Yep.
And I don't fuck with that.
You can get a cheaper one. Because remember, we learned there's like VSP and VSOP and very special other people's pussy.
Mm-hmm.
There's different levels of it. I think you get a cheap one without a key.
I got a VSP. I think E and J, I'm looking at the, I think it's an off brand.
Oh, I know that brand.
Off brand brandy.
Either brandy. Way, I'm liking in this mix. I heard somebody, because I think that a bourbon and ginger beer, I think, is like a horse neck, and a gimlet is gin and lime. So this is another one of these cocktails where it's like two cocktails smashed together. But
what was the horse's neck?
I want to say it's bourbon and ginger beer.
Ginger beer. That's a funny name for a...
As opposed to just a gin mule, I think the brandy, Jay, is warming this up more than most mules, and I'm liking it.
Mm. Yeah, it's warm and spicy.
And also nicey?
And also nicey.
The bitters, too.
It really does... It feels... You know, it's not like Trinidad Sour level, but this does feel like, ooh, am I at the Tonga Room?
Yeah. There's a lot going on, and I get it as a hangover thing, even though there's a little hocus pocus to hangover cures. This tastes medicinal because of the ginger and the bitters.
Ginger and the bitters.
Yeah, it's a cool.
I'm getting, as it's like melting down, I'm getting a little more of like, oh, there's the lime and there's the, I'm not really tasting the gin at all. Yeah. The gin is hiding.
That's one of the things I like about gin is that it's such a distinct tasting spirit, but then it disappears into a cocktail. It just makes it kind of elegant.
You know how I feel about ginger beer. I don't like it. And
we've heard.
I'm getting a lot of ginger beer here. So let's see. You don't have to be a math fucking wizard to get this one.
So, I mean, I'm not a math wizard. I'm a layperson.
So you put too much of something you don't like in a drink, and now you don't like
you
it.
You filled up a huge beer mug with like 8 ounces of ginger beer, you dolt!
I put so much ice in this thing, there was no room for ginger beer left.
Okay.
They should do that at a bar when...
Tim, I believe him.
You say, hey, bartender, I'll have a cocktail. And they go, room for ginger beer? You know, like a barista's like, room for cream?
Hmm? Ooh, I went right through that one.
If they say to me, room for ginger beer, I say, yeah, room for me to leave right now?
Mike.
No tip.
Hey, since these are hangover cures and we're not hungover, do you think this will kind of pay it forward and it'll work? It'll cross out some future hangovers?
Yeah. I think tomorrow we'll be just, you know, leaping out of bed. Hey, I'm awake this morning. I'm having an
I've got a reverse hangover.
I'm going to have some toast and an egg and take a walk around the block.
Do you guys have in general, do you guys consider yourselves to be guys who get bad hangovers, or are you one of the guys who are like, don't get bad hangovers?
Never used to. And then you hit the big 3-0 and you start getting them.
I get some hangovers. Yeah.
Do you have,
you know what is a, not a surefire, not every time, but a lot of times I'll do a plop, plop, fizz, fizz, Alka-Seltzer. Yeah. Alka-Seltzer, I should say. And I feel much better. I don't know what it is.
Oh, shit.
Duddy, do you have a hangover cure?
You know what I started doing? I've tried a handful of methods. Red Gatorade, like before bed.
Oh.
You know, just like making sure you get a bunch of like electrolytes. But that might be just gimmickry. And then there was another one that was called like Never Too Hungover or something, and they look like little 5-hour energies or something. I think it's called Magic Bullet. Is another one, and I don't know. I feel like those have like done me okay.
Yeah, I've used some of that stuff,
but I would love to see a shootout. Mm. Maybe we should be the guys to do that and kind of test them all and see like what works
and lay our lives on the line. Get alcohol poisoning. I kind of use a lot of those, and then you never really know. You don't have a control group, and getting drunk is different every time.
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't really been drinking too. I feel like in the last couple of years, I maybe drink more often, but it's only two drinks. But what I do like is just getting drunk earlier and not waking up with a hangover, having the hangover hit my body while I'm asleep.
Yes.
Mm. And then waking up fresh as a daisy.
Ready for
leaping
an egg.
Out of bed. Your egg and toast and a walk around the block.
There was a while when I got, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, I got really into Bloody Marys and I had all the good stuff in my house.
Good stuff.
Mike, remember being out at bars multiple weeks in a row around this time and like ordering that last drink of the night thinking, oh, like, and then I'll get to have a bloody, I'll be hungover, so I'll need a Bloody Mary tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Like intentionally.
You're like, look, Jessica, I'm tricking my hangover.
Yeah, and she's like, yep, that's great, honey, perfect, yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're great to be around with the hangovers in the morning.
Get no, me my okay. Sunday funnies!
I think the worst thing about
hangovers... Give me my Blondie!
A bad hangover now when I'm older is way more just like, it'll fuck with my equilibrium. Like, if I wake up to pee at 6 in the morning and I'm really hungover... I'll be like, oh my God, like you're holding on to the Titanic. Wall. It's just something that they never used to get that bad when I was
vertigo.
Younger. Because I would wake up hungover in college and be like, oh, 8 a.m., I'm hurting. And then by 10 a.m., you're okay.
Yeah.
Or lunch.
No, it'll last the whole, like through the day. I mean, I do kind of delight in being like spending a Sunday where it's like, I guess I have to order breakfast burritos and then I guess I got to lay around and watch HBO all day. I guess I got to.
Ooh, HBO Max.
Stop it.
Ooh.
The hangover, I feel like when I'm hungover, I'm a different type of I like hold like very calm conversations, but I make myself laugh more in that state.
Oh yeah. Like, you're like a little punch drunk.
I think I'm being kind of funny.
Yeah.
Cause I'm not I always laugh at my own joke, just laugh at whatever I'm saying. But if I'm like hungover and tired, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I think saying funny things, but not laughing at
them. Every little thing makes you sort of chuckle a little bit. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind spending time with a Hanford who is calm and funny as opposed to the usual inverse.
When I listen back to these episodes, I am just a chuckle happy little guy. I got to cut that shit out.
You're a chuckle fucker.
It's your brand, dude.
No, well, it sucks. That brand sucks. Even right now. Ha ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
We like it because you're giving me and Jeff polite laughs.
I'm just a polite guy.
Hey, every laugh I have is 100% authentic J-Man guaranteed.
I'm going to hold you that. I was just thinking, Hangover. Hangover movies.
Yes.
Remember? We saw Hangover 1 opening night in the Dome.
The Dome. That was so
not
fun.
Not me, man.
No.
I was late to the Hangover, but keep going.
You're probably hungover.
Nah.
That's funny to be late to because it also feels like it's a movie that didn't age well and you grow away from it quite fast. It's kind of a bro fest. But seeing a comedy in a big 1,000-person theater on opening night is the best. That was one of those moments that like we're hip ass comedy dudes, so we knew Galifianakis back from Late World and stuff and Comedians with Comedy and all that. But hearing like America
discover
a breakout like performance in the moment, kind of like Will Ferrell in Old School, you know, where it's this same, guy is stealing this movie.
Same dynamic, by the way.
Same director.
Same director of like,
oh,
you know, Zach was the Will character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trio, the roles are the same.
The wolf pack.
The wolf pack.
Hey, we're kind of a wolf pack, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Ow.
I didn't like The Hangover. I think it was definitely overhyped by the time I saw it. And I watched the whole movie with my arms folded. And yeah, Zach is good in it. But other than that, barely smiled.
Mm. You know what? I wish when I saw Barb and Star, I wish that had been in theaters because that would have been such a fun group watch because that was some real laughs.
I remember when Bridesmaids came out and people were like, oh, it's like The Hangover. And I saw it and I was like, Bridesmaids is way better than The Hangover.
And Melissa McCarthy is the Galifianakis.
Yep.
I think I've told this how I've seen, how I went to see Bridesmaids. Have I said this on the podcast? If I have?
No.
No.
I saw it. I was like Jeff with The Hangover. I was a little late to the game. And I went when was it? It was like an 11 o'clock in the morning screening and we're walking in
And I'm looking around. I'm like, hey, why there's a lot? There's like a lot of baby strollers here. What's going on? And we get in there, and it's what was the theater was calling a Mommy and Me movie. And it was the we were watching Bridesmaids with a bunch of with a bunch of kids, babies, like kind of crying, and the lights weren't down all the way. There was a guy behind us just pacing the probably the entire 2 hours. And at the end of the movie, no credits, the lights came up. It's time to go.
Man.
I'm going to write a movie that's like kind of playing to the Mommy and Me set. And sort of like every once in a while, a character is going to kind of shake a rattle for 20 minutes. And then the kids will love it. Mom's happy because the kid's happy.
Now, he's a rattle CEO, and guess what? He's a hunk. So the moms are happy and the kids are happy.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not Boss Baby, it's Rattle CEO.
Rattle CEO.
Now, did they even turn the lights down all the way during the movie?
Not all the way, no.
Oh, so you get a little bit of moonlight glow.
Right, right. So I could see my popcorn easily. I wasn't dumping it down the front of my shirt like I usually am.
Yeah. Well, I see you a lot of the time. You're watching the movie, and then your hand will just miss the bag entirely.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, now I look down at my popcorn, and I get my course correct. And then, but something is exciting happening on the screen, so you look up, and then again, the hand misses it.
Yeah. And if it's a really fun movie, and I don't want to look away, I'm down. Now I'm in my neighbor's Reese's.
Oh, yeah. I'm in my neighbor's Junior Mints.
Okay, that's how good this movie is. I'm in my neighbor's Junior Mints.
I'm in my next door neighbor's Jujubes.
Yo.
I got snow caps in my mouth that I didn't pay for.
I'm in my nearby...
Brethren?
Seatmates Goober Box.
Goober Bots?
Goober Box. You know, I could have said, hey, my hand's in Snowcap City.
I got my digits so deep into my neighbor's Diet Sprite. That's how good this movie is.
Yeah, I'm picking up
into the plastic lid, into the drink.
Have you guys ever done the thing from the movie Diner where you put your dick in a little hole in the bottom of the popcorn?
Yeah, just to pee, though.
Yep,
I do that.
Oh boy.
Just to pee in the bathroom.
Well, guys, how do we feel about round segundo?
Let's do it.
See you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back with our final thoughts on The Suffering Bastard.
I mean, everyone's waiting to hear Mike rip this a new asshole, so I'll just go first and say, I love it. I think it's delicious. Will I make it when I have a hangover? Maybe. If I have some brandy in the house, maybe I would.
Damn. I like it a lot, and I think it's an easy tiki. Like I was saying the other week about the Singapore Sling. Like, hey, you got pineapple juice and gin. You can throw some extra crap in there and you got an easy tiki. Same deal with half Cavassier, half Tanqueray.
Tanqueray Jefferson.
And then, you know, ginger beer. I guess it's not stuff you just have around, but we have it around because we have a fun podcast.
Yeah, if you have a cocktail podcast, you got brandy laying around. But I'll say, you mentioned Easy Tiki. The official Easy Tiki of this podcast.
Yes.
For everyone listening, you should know this by now. Multiple rums, lime, and one other ingredient of your choosing, and you pretty much have a tiki drink.
Could it be pineapple juice?
Yes, Michael, yes.
Perfect. My boy. Perfect.
I'm a lime freak. I'm an ice freak. This drink hits the spot. I love ginger beer. I love mules.
Yeah.
I love, you know, I don't like having mint in my fridge, but I like it in a, I like it in the cocktail.
It's fine in the drink. It's not so good in the fridge.
Is there like a, you know, I get this lime extract stuff that just comes in the bottle. Do they have something like that with mint? That would be a good one.
Oh, I think they do.
Add a little liquid mint.
That would be nice. But in this case, it's a garnish. So what would you just float it on top?
I think you can get like mint paste in a little jar, but it wouldn't be.
Here's what you do. Take a little huff of Colgate before you take a sip and you pretty much.
Yeah, put in some Listerine. There you go.
Yeah, why don't you get yourself a little Crest Total White?
All right. I'm going to see if they have this liquid mint I'm talking about.
Yeah, why don't you get yourself some Pall Mall menthols and crumble some of those in that drink.
Yeah.
All right. Let's calm down.
Can I do one more?
Sure. Do you have one more?
Junior Mint.
Are we going to have to wait for you to think of one?
Junior Mint would have worked for the movie theater joke and
Junior
this
Mint. I got my hand so far down my neighbor's Junior Mint. That's how good this
Oh, Jesus.
Jeff,
how
can
good
we,
this movie
can
was.
You dub that one back into the other bit?
Okay. Oh, that one's.
Didn't we do Junior Mint? I thought we did.
I hope so. I mean, you know that Jerry and Kramer did Junior Mint. Jesus Christ.
All right, Mike, stop stringing us along.
Well,
dress this drink down.
I'm a fair guy, right? Pretty fair.
Yeah.
You're like King Solomon.
I see both sides of things. I make my decision.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had a great time with this drink. I'm going to give it one last sip.
Can we watch?
You can watch me for sure.
Okay, the straw is meeting his lips. His cheeks are... have gone concave.
His eyes are blank.
That was three big sips.
Yeah, yeah.
Certainly one of them must have been good.
I will never order this drink again.
Oh, no, Michael. You break my heart.
This is too ginger beery. Not worth it with the gin, cognac, and whatever else the hell else was in it. Lime?
Oh,
wow, let's put lime in a drink and make it special. Yeah, guess what? Every other drink we do has lime in it, okay?
Yeah, it's why I like every other drink.
This is ruthless.
Mike, you mean to tell me if I go to New York and we're out on the town and we go to a professional, you're not going to try a suffering bastard with your boy?
I'll try. If he or she wants to give me a little sidecar of it, I'll try it.
Okay. Hey, it's nice to know.
If it would make their day, sure, I'll give it a whirl.
Okay.
Mike, you must like it more than the mule, right? That was just, the Moscow mule was vodka, lime, ginger beer. You must like the brandy more.
I like this better than the mule, but I don't like mules.
Okay.
Jesus, this fucking guy. Hey, maybe you would like Trader Vic's take on the Suffering Bastard, which is two rums and lime and orgeat. It's kind of like a fucking Mai Tai, dude.
That sounds good to me. This, the half of glass I have here is disgusting.
Disgusting? You're going to use the word disgusting?
No, now I'm just trolling. This drink is not for me.
Okay. Shit.
That's a nice way of putting it. But before we wrap this thing up, I want to ask you guys if you were interested in doing a little bit of a quiz.
Oh, Mike, yes. How could you?
That's right. It is time for the Bastard Quiz.
That's fun. This is fun.
This is fun. These are questions. I'm going to, on my little piece of paper here, I'm writing a J and a T.
What are those for?
Yeah, what is that?
That's the scoreboard.
Yeah, but what do the letters stand for?
Like Jonathan Taylor.
The letters stand for Jeff and Tim.
Oh, I thought it was Jordan and Tim because Jordan's my middle name.
Yeah. Well, is your middle name going to be playing? And Jeff, you don't want to play?
I'm going to go by my first name,
I do,
Timothy.
I do.
Jeff wants to play. Okay.
Great.
Here we go. This is the Bastard Quiz. Who did Fat Bastard want in his belly?
Mini-me.
Oh, fuck.
That is Tim gets the mini-me on
gets
that one.
Gets within my stomach.
Small guy. Here we go. He was the mission leader of the Inglorious Bastards.
Brad Pitt.
Aldo fucking. Fucking. Oh.
Aldo Carabini.
I will give it to Jeff.
Alder Rain.
Now I'll really give it to Jeff. Come on.
Did you Google that?
Jeff, are you Googling over there?
I Googled in my brain, in my medulla.
Googling. Everyone's Googling everything these days.
Okay.
Lieutenant Aldo Rain. How about that shit?
Did you just Google that?
No, it's off the dome, dude.
I'm going to Google you in a second.
Now, there's some theories that that Brad Pitt's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was Aldo Rain's son.
Yes, and those theories are kind of stupid. Okay.
And then, hey, our little buddy Paul Russ said that Lieutenant Aldo Rain, when they weren't shooting, made them pancakes.
Jeff, you just got 2 points because that was the next question.
Oh.
Okay, but can I cross those 2 points off because I recently brought it up to Paul. Didn't Brad Pitt make you pancakes? And he's like, no. And I was like, I've been telling everyone that Brad Pitt made pancakes.
Wow, I don't know what to do here because I'll give Jeff one because guessing my next question is something.
That's something.
That is something. So you get 1 point, not two, because...
Well, what do I get for being a fact checker whistleblower?
You get a side point. You can use that if you want for this.
I'm not going to use it, but thank you.
Sure. And look, if anybody out there wants to fact check Tim's fact check, then that's welcome too, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an open book.
All right, Jeff, get that clip ready that I got for you.
Okay, great.
Do you have it?
It's prepared.
Okay. Who do we hear here?
ODB.
Mm-hmm.
The
Osiris.
I should have known that. ODB, Old Dirty Bastard, Wu-Tang Clan. Can I get a side point for saying that Wu-Tang Clan, they're not exactly something you're going to want to go ahead and fuck with.
No,
I'm not going to give you that side point because that's not your original idea. You got that from their song.
True. Okay, fair.
Another question here. What was Old Dirty Bastard's religious nickname?
Old Dirty Priest Guy.
Nope.
I don't know. Young Clean Deity.
Religious nickname.
He started calling himself this, I think, I forget when, but...
Reverend Bastard?
Brother...
Brother Dirty.
Nope.
I'll give you the initials. BBJ.
Big Baby Jesus.
That's right.
Oh!
Big Baby Jesus. He called himself that. I'm not sure why. I was listening to, you know that album that he did? It was like the picture of his like food stamps ID is the cover.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really great album. He is.
Yeah, you sent it to me one Sunday morning. You were like, "You ever listen to this shit?"
It was like, "No, it's not so really. Funny." And he's like, just like wild. Like
it's like great. It's very fun.
It's really fun. He's there's a Wu-Tang song or something where there's a sample and Method Man is talking about like who's in the group and he's like this older bastard because there's no father to his style and it is really like he's so. Unique.
He's unhinged.
He's unhinged. He's singing sometimes, and he's just having fun.
Truly, a wild, loose cannon in a very fun, entertaining way.
Yes. Okay. Fat bastard farts in the movie Austin Powers Goldmember. What does he compare the smell to?
Oh, I don't know Goldmember as much as I know International Man of Mystery and The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yeah, who does?
He has a little run here. It's one of those
show me the man who does.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a little run and it's probably one of those things where Mike Myers was just doing some funny riffs and
unsaid riffs.
Yeah, it's like a very Will Ferrell-esque like, "Oh, it smells like Loki's boot."
Oh, okay. I'm going to say like then like goose eggs and Limburger cheese.
No.
It smells like a old diaper. No, that's Anchorman, right? Like Indian food.
Yeah.
Right. It smells like Lucifer's cock.
I'll give you one. Maybe it'll spark something.
Zeus's beard.
It smells
it smells like Dumbledore's balls.
When everyone in the apartment building is
is making dinner, and you, it's all those smells together. Smells mixed with puke or something like that.
Wait, what?
That's one of them. Huh. All right. Well, that's a scratch.
What was the answer?
I don't know. There was a bunch of them, and you didn't get any of them.
Well, I want to hear the other ones.
Well, I got to watch the YouTube clip.
No. Okay.
No, don't worry about it.
Good. Look it up, folks. Just look up fat bastard fart, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Myers had himself a fun run.
Yeah. Okay. Gold member opens with the opening credit sequence for Austin Pussy, the movie about Austin Powers' life. Who
Tom
plays?
Cruise.
Yes,
Timmy.
God damn it.
Stealth attack.
I was like, is it going to be Spacey? Is it going to be Cruz? And Tim, you sneaked it.
Who directs it?
His. Who directs it?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the actual movie or the thing? Spielberg.
The thing. Spielberg, yep.
Oh, God damn it. Of course.
Okay. That wasn't a real question. Here we go.
That was a side point at least.
All right. I'll give you a side. You had two side points floating here, Tim.
I'm not going to use the first one. Wash that one away. I have one side point that I can use.
Okay. Because it's 4-2 right now.
Yeah. But we still haven't discussed the exchange rate of side points.
Okay. We'll do that.
Side points are two normal points.
What? Here we go. What unsavory snack does the titular character in Gold Member eat?
Gold.
Nope.
Hair.
Golden grams?
Not hair.
Pubic hair.
No.
Fucking goddamn it.
It is a body. It does come off his body.
Skin.
That's right. It is skin.
God damn it.
And sometimes he keeps them in a little chest. Okay. Here is the last question. What was the name of the host in the reboot for The Gong Show?
Oh boy, shit. I know this one. Dave Ferguson wrote for this show.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Mike Myers character.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, this is going to kill me because
it's like a British,
he's like, yeah,
a lot
Welsh
of people
guy.
Didn't know. Maybe it wasn't British. I told my little sister, and she didn't know, and it was airing. So they did a very good job of keeping it under wraps.
Well, because you wouldn't expect him to do something like that, too.
This was weird. Also, Gong Show was like one of those summer, like network replacement shows over the summer.
Yeah, game show, whatever.
But I read the thing. Here's I'll tell you what. I submitted for the show. I wrote a packet and didn't get the job. Sheesh.
Ferguson couldn't get you a job?
Even with your boy Ferguson at the helm? Damn.
I think I wrote the packet pre-Ferg, and then maybe he ended up being the only writer. And that's a good choice by them. But the name is... Okay, I got the first name, but I don't want to say it because it'll tip Jeff off.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very British-sounding name. It's like Aldous or something.
Tommy Chesterfield.
Not Chesterfield. Tommy is correct.
Tommy Havishaw.
Oh, no.
I can give you what it begins with.
Tommy Westminster.
Blonick. Tommy.
The last name begins with an M.
Maitland.
Maitland. That's right, Jefferson.
Yes, Maitland.
Ooh. All right. That wraps up the bastard quiz. Jeff has 5. Tim has 3 with 1 floating point and 1 that he does not want to use.
The floating point that I can use, I'm not going to use that. But I unearth from the crypt the old point that I said?
Do you want
I
to? It's going to take a lot out of me.
It's going to take some doing, but I would love to bring it back from the crypt.
All right, so you got.
Folks at home, the veins in his forehead are just bulging.
Oh, and he's saying the sacred spell.
It's taking everything he's got.
He's speaking in tongues and it's working.
The incantation, it's working.
There it is. It came up.
Oh, the point. We see it.
The point.
In all its glory.
The final score is Jeff 5, Tim 4.
Worth it on my end. I'm proud that I used the points the way that felt right.
Okay, well that's the final score of the bastard quiz.
Mike, you're gonna need to get yourself a red Gatorade and Mike, lock up.
I hate to break you, but I think you blew your ass out a little bit.
I know I did.
You blew an O-ring there, dude.
Well, good thing the cleaner comes tomorrow.
Woo! Congrats, Jeff.
Hey, Tim. Thanks, man.
You got it.
That's what I like to see.
That's our show. Follow us on social media at The Sloppy Boys, where we release these recipes ahead of time. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon, where subscribers can unlock The Sloppy Boys Blowout, our weekly bonus episode. That's patreon.com/The Sloppy Boys. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
I was like, what's he gonna say? He's about to say something. No.
No, I'm on the record voluntary saying, achoo.
Convulsion.
And to repay the favor to you, Tim, God bless you.
Thank you.